Welcome to Prostate Cancer Without Taboo, a podcast produced by Procure with the goal of helping, supporting, and informing men at risk, newly diagnosed people, survivors, and their families. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men. It is also the third leading cause of death, and in Quebec alone, 12 men a day are diagnosed with it. Yet, it is still a taboo subject for many. Procure podcasts are intended to be frank and transparent discussions with patients, caregivers, doctors, each with their personal stories and experiences with the disease. We hope that this tool will answer questions that you may not have dared to ask, and above all, will allow you to see that you are not alone. We remind you that Procure offers a 7-day-a-week telephone and online support service with nurses specialized in uro-oncology to answer your questions and concerns. We're here for you and your loved ones, so contact us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Prostate Cancer Without Taboo, our podcast series that I hope will answer some of your questions or concerns. My name is Marie-Christine Beauchemin, your host for this podcast. Today's theme, Can Prostate Cancer Be Hereditary?, is particularly interesting as it sheds light on the role of genetic in prostate cancer risk. Understanding the hereditary and genetic aspect of this disease can provide valuable insights for individuals and their families. That's why, without further delay, I would like to welcome our guest, Danny Tremblay, a genetic counselor from the Centre Hospitalier Universitaire de Montréal, the CHUM. Welcome and thank you for accepting our invitation to participate in this podcast, Danny.
Hi, Marie-Christine. Thank you for welcoming me today.
Thank you very much. Let's talk about genes. My first question is, what are genes and how do they work?
Yes, so we'll do a bit of a genetics 101 here today. So we can compare our DNA to a big recipe book. And every single gene in our DNA would be one single recipe. Every single one of their recipes give instructions to our body on how to function properly. So with many, many different genes, our body can do many, many different things. And this is how our DNA works.
All right, then what is a genetic mutation?
A genetic mutation would be kind of like a spelling mistake in one of our recipes. So just like we read a recipe, our body reads our DNA. When reading the recipe, if we stumble upon a word that is misspelled, a word that is missing, or even a word that is there twice, we can't fully understand the recipe properly. It goes the same way with our DNA. When our body tries to read specific sections of DNA or specific genes, if part of it is misspelled or just not written correctly, our body can't fully understand it, and then it can't function properly.
Thank you. What are the most common gene mutations associated with cancers, including prostate cancer?
For hereditary cancer predisposition, the most well-known and the most common are mutations in the gene BRCA1 and BRCA2. They are the ones that we find the most often and that are the most well-known from the general public. For prostate cancer specifically, the latest studies have shown that the genetic mutations that are found the most often are in the genes BRCA2, ATM, or CHEK2.
Thank you. One very important question that many people are asking themselves, and certainly patients who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer, is prostate cancer hereditary?
The short answer is yes, it can be, but not always. So if we make a generalization about all prostate cancer diagnoses, we say that about 5 to 10% are hereditary. The rest are not. If we break it down with prostate cancer that are metastatic, so that have spread further than the prostate, the likelihood of it being hereditary is a bit higher, maybe 10 to 15%. However, for a localized prostate cancer, so a prostate cancer that has not spread further in the body, the likelihood of it being hereditary is much lower, probably below 5%.
If we still stay in the prostate cancer risk, how does genetic contribute to the development of prostate cancer?
The way it works with our so-called recipe book that we were talking about earlier is that the genes that are responsible for cancer predisposition are what we call tumor suppressor genes. So that's a big name, but what it means is that the role of these genes is to protect us from developing cancer. If we have a genetic mutation or a spelling mistake in one of those genes, it means that it cannot do its role of protecting us against cancer. What this does is that it makes it a little bit more likely for some people to develop cancer because our defense mechanism are not working quite properly. So this is how our DNA can lead us to be a bit more prone to getting specific types of cancer. And depending on in which gene or which section of the DNA the spelling mistake or the mutation is in, there will be specific risk of specific cancer. For example, one specific genetic mutation can give a higher risk for breast cancer, prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, but not a higher risk for any other types of cancer. So it's important to know exactly what the genetic mutation is to know exactly what types of cancer are at higher risk.
Thank you. What are the differences between inherited mutation and acquired mutation?
That's a very good question. So inherited mutation, as it says in the name, are mutations that are passed on from our parents and that we can also pass on to our kids. We also call them germline mutations. These mutations are present from birth and in all our cells of our body. The way that we can test for these genetic inherited mutations, is through a blood sample. Okay, so this is the way that we do some genetic testing. And this is what we call hereditary cancer predisposition because these mutations being present in all our body, all our cells, can give a higher risk of specific types of cancer. If we look on the other side at acquired mutation, or what we call somatic mutation, they are mutations that are present only in the cancer cells. The way to test for these mutations is through a biopsy of the prostate. We will not find acquired mutation in the blood, only in the tumor cells. Since these acquired mutations are only present in the tumor cells, they cannot be passed on to our kids, and they're not inherited from our parents. So these acquired mutation really only have to do with the specific cancer, but not with the rest of our family history.
Are there any risk factors that can actually, speak to acquired mutations?
It's hard to define, but we know specific risk factors such as age increase the risk of acquiring mutation. External factors such as sometimes smoking or alcohol consumption. So it's very hard to pinpoint those risks, but we know there are external factors. And sometimes there's no specific factors. It's just kind of a mishap of our body without a specific explanation.
If we go back to inherited mutations, how do inherited mutations in genes get transmitted from one generation to the next? And can it jump from one generation to another?
Thank you for this question, Marie-Christine. It's a question I get a lot with my patients. So if we go back to our recipe book, so our DNA, everybody have our DNA in two copies, okay? So it's kind of having every single recipe twice. So we have genetic predisposition cancer genes twice. When we have a mutation, the mutation is present on only one of our two copies. When we have kids, we're gonna split our genetic material in two. Half comes from mom, half comes from dad. So having two copies, one that is normal, one that has a genetic mutation, we will pass on either or of these copies, okay? So there's a 50% probability of passing on the normal copy that has no genetic mutation, And then there's 50% probability of transmitting the mutation that has a genetic mutation on it. That makes it that every child of someone who has a cancer predisposition mutation has a 50-50 chance of either inheriting it or not inheriting it. The way it works, if you inherit it, you can then pass it on to your kids, again with that 50-50 probability. However, if someone does not inherit the genetic mutation, which means they have inherited the normal copy of DNA of their parent, they cannot pass it on to their kid. If you do not carry a genetic mutation, you cannot pass it on. It will not skip generations. However, it's important to keep in mind that not everybody with a genetic mutation will necessarily develop cancer in their lifetime. So we can't assume that someone is not a carrier because they have not had cancer. It is possible to still be a carrier of a genetic mutation and having passing it on, even if we don't have cancer.
This is a very clear explanation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go to genetic testing. My question for you is, can any doctor recommend genetic testing?
Yes, any doctor can recommend genetic testing. Most often, it is the oncologist or the urologist who will flag the patients who have a family history or specific types of prostate cancer and will flag them to know that they need genetic testing. Once the urologist or oncologist flags the patient who needs genetic testing, they will send a referral to medical genetics. Not all hospitals have medical genetics department. However, every single hospital has an affiliation with a hospital who has a medical genetics clinic. So no matter where your doctor practices, there is a pathway that is already established for you to get genetic testing.
Good. Now, why is it important to undergo proper genetic testing rather than relying on genetic test kits available on the web?
I was hoping you'd ask that. So, genetic testing on the web can be very appealing. However, there are three main concerns. The first one is that not all genetic testing are created equal. Some genetic tests are very limited and will only look for specific parts of the DNA without looking at all the sequence of the gene. Again, if I bring back my recipe book, it will be kind of looking at only certain words in the recipe instead of reading the whole recipe. There's a high likelihood of missing something if we don't look at the whole recipe or the whole gene. And this is often the case with test kits that we can find online. They will only target specific parts of the DNA that are only at higher frequency in certain subtypes of population and that will miss in other types of in other ancestry populations. So this is the first part. It's not always a good test. Second of all, these tests are not subjected to the same certification and quality standards as regular genetic testing. This means that we do not know how things are happening in the lab. Are they using the right products? Do they have the right protocols to make sure they don't make mistakes? We don't know. When we send our DNA for these online tests, we don't really know what happens, and we can't make sure that they are using a certified lab. To give you an example, for in-hospital genetic testing, we have to use specific labs that have a specific certification, or else these tests are not considered valid. So this is very important to keep in mind. And then the third reason is because genetic testing is only part of your whole genetics evaluation. The genetics result are only part of the answer. You need to have these tests interpreted with your personal history, your family history, and you kind of need someone to explain those results to you. If you get these results in the mail, will you really know what they mean and what to do with it? Probably not, and that's normal because genetic testing can be quite complicated. So for these reasons, we recommend that you undergo proper genetic testing instead of seeking it online.
You have questions, concerns, worries? Contact us 7 days a week at 1-855-899-2873 to discuss confidentially with one of our nurses specializing in uro-oncology, who will take the time to listen to you and provide you with informed answers. The ProCure support team is there for you.
So what are the limitations associated with regular genetic testing for prostate cancer?
Yes, so even regular genetic testing is not perfect either. I would say our biggest limitation is knowledge. We do not know everything about our DNA yet. We know a lot, but not everything. So it's possible that the genetic tests we're doing right now are not comprehensive and don't include every single gene that can be associated with prostate cancer, simply because we don't know about these genes yet. And maybe 10 years down the line, we'll have even more comprehensive tests that we just don't know about right now. The second limitation is technical. DNA testing is quite complicated. We are very good at reading a recipe or reading our DNA, but there are still small sections of DNA that we can't quite look at right now with our machines. So it is possible that even in the genes that we know, we are missing tiny little bits of it because we don't have the technical power. And then I think that's it.
I think that pretty much sums it.
Sorry.
No, this is very good. This pretty much sums it. And I think that with the following questions, you'll be able to complete the information linked to this questions with regards to limitations.
Thank you.
But before we go back to some of the limitations, let's talk about how can individuals and their families make informed decision about genetic testing for prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. So in order to make informed decision making, the first thing you need to know is the information. What will this genetic testing give you? What information will the genetic test not give you? You can also ask yourself, do I want to know this information? But also, is now the right time for me to know this information? Because sometimes people would rather not know, or maybe would not rather not know right now. So these are questions that are all addressed when you meet with a genetic counselor, and I think we'll get to it a bit later today, as to what comes in mind when we make informed decision making. But the first part of it is education. You need the right information in order to be able to make a decision.
Thank you. Can genetic testing identify individuals who should undergo early screening for prostate cancer?
Yes, and that is our main goal. With genetic testing for prostate cancer, but for any other cancer genetic predisposition, is to identify who is at a higher risk in order for them to get preventive screening. So we know that for prostate cancer, early screening for everybody is not the solution. However, genetic testing will allow us to know for who early screening will be important and for who it's not worth it. So it really helps us discriminate who's at higher risk and who can benefit from that early screening.
Good. Let's talk about your role. What role does a genetic counselor play in prostate cancer and genetic testing?
Yes, so the role, I would say, is a bit threefold. So the first role would be to evaluate the information that the patient is giving you. So what age were you diagnosed? What are your risk factors? Is it localized prostate cancer? Is it metastatic? And also your family history. How many brothers and sisters do you have? Have they had cancer? Your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents. So take like a big picture and analyze this to know how likely is it that your case is hereditary. The second part is also information giving. So we've talked about the information gathering part, now it's information giving. So I was talking earlier about you need information to give informed consent. So this is where we're gonna explain hereditary cancer to our patients, explain what it means if ever genetic testing comes back positive, what it means if it comes back negative, what it means if it comes back uncertain, because not all genetic testing comes with a black or white result. So this is going to be the way to give you the power and the information to make a decision. And then the third part of our role will really be to accompany you in your decision making. So we'll put you into situations and thinking, what am I going to do with that result? How am I going to tell my kids? How am I going to tell my other family members? Is that going to change my treatment?
is that going to change my perception of self, my relationship with my family members? So there's no right or wrong answer, but it is our role as genetic counselor to help you navigate these questions and come up with the best decision that works for you.
And when you provide that kind of support to patients and their families, do you see that it really does have an emotional and psychological impact, for these people when they're well accompanied?
Yes, absolutely. And it makes a major difference to be accompanied with these process. So obviously we can imagine that receiving the news of a positive genetic test for a high risk of prostate and or other types of cancer can bring up a lot of anxiety and stress. And we are trying to help our patients cope with this by giving them strategies on how to cope with the anxiety and the stress, and orienting them with the right specialists, such as a social worker or a psychologist if they need it. We also try to have our patients see the big pictures. So even if we have a higher risk of cancer, what can be done? What actions can we take to reduce or control, in some words, the cancer risk? So this is a way to kind of like cope with that information. But we also have to recognize that genetic testing may not be for everybody, okay? Some people want to know the information. For some others, that information is going to be overwhelming and will send them in a spiral of overthinking and overanalyzing for symptoms. If we get to that point, it's really important to go seek help and not to stay in that mental state, because it's not going to be productive neither for you or for your family members.
Can you give us an example of the amount of time or sessions you will be spending with the patients from the time you do receive the results and those results are actually positive?
Yes. So once I get a positive result, I will always set up a minimum 30 minutes session with my patients. I always plan for a bit more time, so I usually go up to 45 minutes, but it depends on how many questions the patient has. Some patients have had many, many family members who's had genetic testing before, so they're well informed and they don't need that much time with me. They mainly need times with their loved ones to absorb this news. So the consultation with me sometimes is as short as 10 minutes or as long as 45 minutes. It really depends on the need. And I will always plan a follow-up with my patients. It can be either a month later, 2 months, or up to 6 months max later to make sure that they have understood the result, they have spoken with it with their doctors, and make sure I answer all of their questions before referring them back to their either oncologist, family doctor, urologist. And even when we do the final follow-up, in genetics, we never close the charts. You can always call us back. And I speak for my practice at the SHIM, but I believe it is true for all of my colleagues in genetic counseling. You can always call us back or email us back if you have any questions or if you're not unsure about what to do with your results, how to speak to your kids about it, how to speak to your parents, your cousins, and whatnot.
Before we go to our last questions, very quickly, do you meet family members of the patient who actually received a positive results for his genetic testing?
Yes, we do. However, we always do it on a one-on-one basis. It can seem nice to do a family meeting, which is, it's a possibility, but in reality, it's often easier to be on a one-on-one so everybody can ask their own question. And it's also very important to remember that we will not force any family member to seek genetic testing. It will be up to them to make a referral to come and see us. It's never mandatory, and we're never going to force everybody in the room to listen to us talk about DNA.
Okay. Well, this is our last question. What advice would you give to men in general with a history of cancer in their family?
I would say don't hesitate to ask questions. Don't be shy. Go to your doctor and ask them, "This is my family history. I'm worried about hereditary prostate cancer. Do I fit criteria to get tested?" And if you don't fit criteria, it means we're not worried. And if you do, then you might get answers to your questions with genetic testing.
Well, Denis Tremblay, Thank you very, very much for sharing this insightful information with us. That basically wraps up today's podcast. To all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. I hope this podcast has addressed some of your questions or concerns. Thank you, everyone. Thank you again, Danny. Looking forward to see you next time. This is Marie-Christine Beauchemin for Prostate Cancer Without Taboo. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie-Christine.
Thank you for listening to Prostate Cancer Without Taboo, a podcast produced by Procure. To learn more about prostate cancer and our podcast episodes, visit procure.ca.